Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. I'm Carl Nordgren. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. This is the show that takes creativity so seriously. We have fun taking creativity seriously. I believe it's so important that each of us and all of us cultivate our creative qualities that I refuse to define creativity for you. It's too important. If I give you a definition, there's a good chance you'll stop thinking about what creativity means, and I want you to be thinking about what creativity is all about in your life. So rather than defining, I give you lots of different perspectives, lots of different ideas and concepts. That's what we're going to do again today. Sometimes I do that with a guest. You've got me solo today. Today I'm going to dedicate this show. Today it would have been my sister's birthday, my older sister, my big sister's birthday. It's the first birthday that she's missed because she passed a few months ago. And I love Lauren Lee Nordgren so much that this show is dedicated to my sister. Thank you for letting me do that. Today's show is going to be a collection of exercises, creativity exercises. I've shared one or two of these with you. I frequently end a show with a creativity exercise I urge you to do. But today's going to be all about that. Today's going to be, I have 10 creativity exercises for you to do. If you're a regular listener to the show, you've probably heard one or two of them, but I promise you there'll be some new ones here as well. Let's start with the concept of neuroplasticity. And you know what that means, right? When you use your brain to do a particular thing, your brain gets better at doing that particular thing. So when you commit yourself to do some creative exercises, that actually improves the capacity of your brain to do creative work, to do creative expression, to do creative exploration. So today we're going to change your brain by giving you some good tips, some good exercises, rather, to follow. The first is one that I'm sure I've mentioned a couple times before, and that is to take a walk. Stanford University did research on taking walks, and they determined that when you walk, when you reach your natural stride, when you reach that rhythmic stride, right, when you reach that rhythmic stride, the two hemispheres of your brain integrate. We're going to talk more about the integration of our two hemispheres in a moment, because I'm going to give you a couple of examples of how you integrate that brain, and I'll tell you how vitally important that is to your creative life. So take a walk. They first did the research in those beautiful wooded parks in Palo Alto, and then somebody said, well, wait a minute, maybe it's the walking in the woods that causes these great research findings. So they repeated the research in a basement with no windows, with just a treadmill, and got the same results. And the results that they get is that when you're taking a walk, you're much, much better at generating new ideas. Your idea generation improves markedly when you are taking a walk. Other research found that if you walk on uneven ground, when you walk on uneven ground, you get even more benefit. Your constant adjustment engages parts of your brain that just taking a regular walk on smooth surfaces don't. So yes, take a walk down the path, but also take a walk in the woods. Take a walk in the woods where you're always on some uneven ground. Your body and your mind is adjusting to that, and new parts of your brain come into play. Here is another way to integrate the two hemispheres of your brain. If you don't have the time to go take a walk, this is really very simple. Sit down, stare straight ahead. Now, without moving your head, look as far to the right as you possibly can. Move your eyes so you can look as far to the right as you possibly can for about a five count. Come back to looking straight forward again. Again, your head is steady, your head's not moving. Then look to the left. And look as far as you can to the left without moving your head for about a five count. Repeat that five times. Once again, you're integrating the two hemispheres of your brain. Here's one more example of how to integrate the two hemispheres of your brain, and then we'll talk about why that's so very important to do so. And that is a cross-lateral exercise. I do it standing. You can also do it sitting. So I've just stood up in the studio, and I'm tapping my left shoulder with my right hand. Then I'm tapping my right shoulder with my left hand. Then I'm tapping my left knee with my right hand. Then I'm tapping my right knee with my left hand. I'm crossing my body's lateral divide. And every time you cross the divide, because your right hemisphere controls the motor functions of the left side of your body, your left hemisphere controls the motor functions on your right side of the body. And so when you move from one side to the other, once again, the two hemispheres of your brain are integrating. So yes, we all have this understanding that the left hemisphere of our brains are oriented towards analytical thinking, towards logical considerations, and also it's where the language function is, whereas our right hemisphere of our brain is where the conceptual thinking takes place, the imaginative thinking takes place, where we're better at seeing the whole picture in the right hemisphere. So let's talk about how we integrate them, and let's use as an example one of my favorite things to do, which is to write. When you're writing, the two hemispheres of your brain are integrating. Your left hemisphere is bringing structure. It's bringing language. It's bringing coordination of these maybe creative work that you're doing. Your right hemisphere is bringing emotion. It's bringing tone. It's bringing what we're called upon, imaginative storytelling. So when you are writing, the two hemispheres of your brain are, in fact, integrating and integrating very gracefully, very nicely. Let's stay with movement here for a second as we then go into the break. I love this research. Research shows that when your hand is engaged, when you're holding something, when you're manipulating something in your hand, it sort of becomes a multimodal experience of the world, and you're in a more creative state when you do that. Some research has found that if you look at a pencil at the other end of the table and are asked to come up with all the things that you can do with that pencil, you come up with a certain number of them, and they have a certain quality of imagination and originality to them. But if you're holding that pencil in your hand, research shows, you come up with many, many more solutions for what you can do with this pencil. Much more creative idea, many more creative ideas about what you can do with that pencil by grasping it in your hand. That wonderful mind-hand coordination kicks in when all you simply do is hold it in your hand. I find that when I'm teaching a class, I inevitably stand there in front of the room and I've got something between my fingers that I'm playing with, and not conscious of it, but then I realize there it is. So I've got some more tips for you when you come back from the break. I hope you do.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back, and thanks for coming back. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill, the best radio station in the state of North Carolina, 5 years in a row. That sounds significant to me. What I shared with you in the first segment of the show, I started to lay out creative exercises that you can do that will cultivate, grow a more creative brain for you to use in the moment, for you to use tomorrow and the next day. I do these tips regularly throughout my day, these exercises. Boy, I keep calling them tips. These exercises all throughout the day. And when I'm getting ready to focus on a creative project, when I'm getting ready to sit down and write, for instance, I make sure that I do one or more of these in the time before I sit down and actually get to work. All easy to integrate so far, right? It's easy to take a walk. It's easy to sit there and look left and right with your eyes like I suggested you might. So here's another one that's really easy to integrate into your day, maybe the easiest of all to integrate into your day with the greatest reward. University of Munich. I've shared this research with you occasionally, but now let's add it to this list of exercises. The University of Munich was trying to determine if color has impact on creative performance. So they were really ambitious. They created four very different creative exercises for this research. You know how it works. They bring in the control group that completes the four exercises, and then they bring in next groups, and these next groups, each group stared at a different color before they did the exercises. One group stared at red for 30 seconds, just 30 seconds, and then did the exercise. Another stared at blue, another at yellow, a fourth at gray. I've always wondered why gray. I guess there's a lot of office buildings that have gray walls. And then the final fifth was green. Well, the first four, the groups that stared at those first four colors, red, blue, yellow, and gray, and then took the four creative exercises, had no change in their performance relative to the control group. The folks that stared at the color green for 30 seconds had a 25% improvement. A 25% improvement in their creative performance across those four exercises. I was teaching at Duke when I learned of this research, and I would say to my students, that 25% improvement, doesn't that take your B minus to an A plus? So I went out that day to Staples, I think, and bought their green folder, bought a number of their green folders. I've bought a whole lot of their green folders ever since. And twice a day, I take a full minute of my time in two different 30-second tranches. Twice a day, I'll stare at the color green. I contemplate the color green. I meditate on the color green for 30 seconds to enjoy that performance and to also remind me that this is who I am, right? I want to intentionally be creative throughout the day. I got so excited about the green research that had my office painted green before the university did a follow-up study about whether or not green as an ambient element to your environment will have the similar impact. It doesn't. You know, you have to stare. You have to really be contemplating. You have to be focusing at green with green to get that benefit that the researchers have found. Why green? Folks, here we are towards the end of the summer. Turn around, look out the window. Everywhere you look, pretty much anywhere in the world, the color of growth is green. Photosynthesis, right? The most fundamental life-shaping force on our planet, it produces green. I subsequently learned that our eyes can detect more shades of green than we can of any other color. So I stare at green twice a day, early in the day, later in the day. Again, if I'm now sitting down to write, boy, I make sure that I spend, 30 seconds. What a big commitment. I'm being facetious. It's no commitment at all to stare at green for 30 seconds. Another bit of research found that when we listen to sad music, to melancholic music, our creative performance improves. Apparently, the sad music fosters an emotional richness that really serves our creative mindset. Again, making connections that hadn't been made otherwise. My wife often wondered early in our marriage why I seemed to have such preference for sad music. I didn't know about this research, but I certainly had a preference for sad, melancholic music. I now have that as a justification for my delight in listening to sad music. It tends to make me happy, but I'm also delighted to know that it helps me become more creative. Here's a couple of ways that you can develop your pattern recognition, some exercises to develop your pattern recognition. As important as pattern recognition is right now, right, to be able to see the trend, to be able to see the direction, as important as that is now, it's only going to be more important in the future, right? We're going to get all kinds of new experiences, and to be able to understand the patterns of what's happening in the future, patterns that we've never seen before, is going to be a really very useful quality for you to have. So here are some ways, and research once again shows that you can improve your pattern recognition abilities by simply recognizing patterns, by making a point, an intentional point, to spend some time looking for patterns. Here are some easy ones for you to once again quickly integrate into your day. When you're driving around, look at license plates. Find the pattern in a license plate. Right? What pattern can you make from what you find there in the license plate with those three letters and four numbers? Right? What story can you create from the pattern of those integers and digits? Another is phone numbers. Right? When you get a new phone number, look for the pattern in the phone number. I seem to do that habitually. I'm always looking to see how I can find some symmetry or some balance or some harmony in a phone number that I'm looking for. Same thing with street addresses. And these are all offline, right? It's rare that I ever will say to somebody, here's something you should do that's going to take you online, but now I am going to do that. Research for sure shows that if you spend some time online with the various match three games that you can find online, I play a game called Bejeweled, where when I line up three jewels in a row, the board clears, and then I have more opportunity to find more three in a row. And so engaging in that, I'll spend maybe 10 minutes every other day playing that game online, because that's improving my pattern recognition. We're going to have some more thoughts for you when you come on back from the break. We have one last segment left for you, folks. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. I've been sharing with you in the first two segments a series of creativity exercises that are designed to change your brain. Right? Every time you engage in a creative exercise, your brain becomes what you want your brain to be to do those creative exercises even better the next time because of good old neuroplasticity. So here's three more. I think I can get all three of these in our last six-minute segment. This is maybe not quite so much an exercise in the way that the others are, but it's a fun exercise for you to do, and it will bring some self-understanding to your creative growth, and that is write a six-word autobiography about your creative life, about your creative persona, about who you are as a creative person. I urge my students to not just simply string together six adjectives that describes them as a creative person, but rather to find a line of narrative that describes a portion of their creative life. Certainly in a six-word autobiography, you can't explore the completeness of your creative talents and your creative abilities, but find a slice of it and capture that with a six-word autobiography. Here's an example to prompt you. This is one that I've used these days. Still looking for mountains to climb. Six words. Still looking for mountains to climb. So engage in your narrative skills. Appreciate the limitations. Sometimes, boy, being limited really inspires our creative outputs. So limit yourself to six words. Write an autobiography about your creative life, about your creative persona, about your creative abilities, about your creative challenges. Here's another one. Play. When you play, your mind is so ready to learn. Your mind changes. Neuroplasticity clearly gets engaged when you're playing, especially when it's open-ended play, right? You start playing and you're not exactly sure what the play is going to be. Some of the most wonderful times I've ever had have been with my children when we were growing up, where we just started doing something. And we created a game from that something that we started. I have a great memory of being on an icy creek, Hickory Creek, and there was a little chip of ice. And my oldest daughter and I bet we were down there for 40 minutes in the cold, kicking that piece of ice around and creating new games, finding new ways to spin it, finding new ways to keep score for how this activity was advancing. So this open-ended play, right? where you engage your imagination, you engage in your storytelling abilities, you're engaged in strategic nimbleness because the game's going to change and you have to be ready to follow the game where it changes, right? Making up a game and playing it at the same time reminds me of what it was like when I was an entrepreneur and my partners would talk about how being an entrepreneur was very frequently like designing and building an airplane at the same time that you're learning how to fly it. So engage in open-ended play. And you want to have fun? Go play with some five-year-old kids. And with their open-ended play, you're going to find inspiration in their wonderful, wonderful imaginations. And we do have time for all of these. The last one is one that I have mentioned to you a few times. I sure hope you'd pick this up. This one's a little bit more ambitious than the others in that it goes from over the course of 30 days. Do a 30-day creative action program. I'll start calling it a 30-day cap for creative action program. And here is that program. Once a day for 30 days, do one of two things. Either do something that you do habitually, but now do it in a whole new fashion, or do something that you've never done before. Once a day for 30 days, do one thing from one column or one thing from another column. Once you've done it, you don't have to continue doing it. It's done for that day. You did it on a Tuesday. You don't have to worry about it for the rest of those 30 days. So here's some examples to sort of prompt you. Let's start with habitual things that you're going to do a whole new fashion. I brush my teeth right-handed. For my 30-day cap today, I'm going to brush my teeth left-handed. I sleep with my head on the north side of the bed. Today for my 30-day cap, or tonight for my 30-day cap, I'm going to sleep with my head on the south end of the bed. I think a number of us will often fix breakfast for dinner. How about this? How about a new behavior that's, a break in your habit? Fix dinner for breakfast, right? There's an example. Those are examples of breaking your habitual behaviors and doing them in a whole new way. Now let's talk about doing something altogether new. I started cooking about 10 years ago. I have yet to take on the ambition, the complication of creating a fancy haute cuisine French meal. So that would be something I've never done before that would serve me that day for my 30-day cap. Name when you walk out the door. This is one that a student of mine gave with me. When she walked out the door first thing in the morning, the first thing that she saw, she gave it a brand new name. She'd never done that before. I think it was the same individual who, when she was driving home, she said, I'll pick out the first three physical objects that I see, and by the time I get home, I've tried to create a narrative with those three objects. So have fun with it. A lot of folks find that if they plan the first few days, they're off to a good start, but don't continue to plan. Have some whimsy, have some inspiration, and have some fun. All of these are all about having fun and growing your creative capacities. Thank you so much for listening.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.